Good evening. About 15 years ago, when I was in Mountain Home, Arkansas, not long after I became a Christian, I had the opportunity to visit West Africa. One of the elders at the Mountain Home Church of Christ had been scheduled to go there. He couldn't make the trip, so they asked me if I would like to go. And up to that point, they had always been pushing me. After I became a Christian, as I said, I'd only been a Christian for a few years. I didn't learn the gospel till I was later in life, and they would push me and push me. And this time they pushed me to go visit West Africa, and my life has been changed since that time. I got off the plane into a different culture that I could not imagine. I went into villages and studied with people. People came to Christ, and from those humble beginnings, you're going to see the work that you are involved with here this evening. I thank this congregation so much for your fellowship in this work. This is not my work. This is our work. I could not do it without you. Without your love, without your encouragement, without your support, without your zeal for seeing the gospel spread to the uttermost parts of the earth, this work would not be possible. All of your brothers and sisters in Christ, as I travel through West Africa, asked me to come here once again and to greet you. Greetings are very important in West Africa. Whenever you meet somebody, either in the morning or the evening, you will spend 5 to 10 minutes greeting one another. If I was in southern Ghana and I was greeting you, I'd say, Mima Waha, which is good evening. And you would respond, Ye Nia, yes, brother. If I was in Tamale in northern Ghana, you would greet me by saying Des or Anawula, and I would respond Nah. If you were in a Kakomba village in northern Ghana, you would greet me by saying Kijopwa, and I would say Lafibi. And so there's many different languages in Ghana. There's many different greetings in Ghana. But wherever I go, wherever I have been throughout West Africa, they have all asked me to come here and to greet you here tonight. In the Church of Christ, we have a mission. Our mission isn't just to go to the potlucks. It's not just to, although those are nice. We had one at noon in Rolla, Missouri today. That was very good. But that's not our mission. Our mission is not even just to come here and worship. Our mission is to seek and to save the lost. That's the mission that Christ had, and that's why He commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, because that's the message that men and women must hear to be saved. And so we have been commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 10, how will they believe if they have not heard? And how will they hear if they don't have a preacher? And so we have a work that we are doing in West Africa together to train preachers, because we need preachers and teachers of the gospel. With your help, we will train them. With your help, we can send them out and they can become evangelists and missionaries throughout this part of the world. And once they go out, they will continue to teach others, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, that he should take this message that he has given to him and to share it with others also, to share it with faithful men. I show you this map every year. This is a map of Africa. The green at the top part of the map is the portion of Africa that is almost completely Islamic. We hear a lot about Islam on the news today, and most of what we hear on the news is about radical Islam, because it's not news if you're talking about things that people are doing that are nice and good, or the ordinary things that happen in life are not news. So all we hear about on news are usually the bad things. But this circle on the map is the area of West Africa where we are currently working and trying to train men. We currently have, this says, 9 Bear Valley schools in West Africa. As of last month, that number has now increased to 10. We just started a new school in the country of Ghana. So where these stars are, the areas of Africa that we presently have schools. There are over 200 students of the Bible in these different schools throughout West Africa. where I started this work 15 years ago. I went to Africa, I moved to Tamale, I went there with a Bible in my hand and a message in my heart, and we just went around preaching the gospel from village to village. Now we are training over 200 men right while we're sitting here in this building throughout West Africa to go out and do that same mission, to go out and to preach the gospel throughout this part of the world. So that's how, from a very small beginning, you don't know where God is going to lead you. You don't know what you can accomplish until you go out and try. And the more you try, the more God will open doors for you, the more that you can actually accomplish. I would have never imagined where this work could have led 15 years ago. There's no way that in the 4 hours that Bill has given me this evening that I can possibly go over all of this work. And so I have separated out into three different areas of West Africa so I can just look at all those areas. And that's biblical for a preacher because you have 3 points. The first point is Ghana. Ghana is an area that is, I think, very influential for the gospel, not only in Africa and West Africa, but also throughout the world. And so I've separated that out as one of the areas. The second area that I've separated out are the countries of Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia, and I call that a recovering land because of all of the problems that they have encountered in that part of the world. And the third area that I've separated out is the area of Togo, Nigeria, and Cameroon that we have schools in, and I call this an area of political crisis, and I'm going to explain that here in just a few minutes a little bit better. But starting with the country of Ghana, when I originally moved to West Africa, I flew into Accra in the southern portion of Ghana. It's the capital city of about 6 million people. I took a bus up to Tamale. I bought a motorbike there, a motorcycle, and I rode all over northern Ghana trying to find out where the best place would be for me to work in this country. I didn't know anything about the country. I didn't know much about Ghana at all, and so I wanted to find out where I was needed. So I went from village to village to village. One time in about a 2-week period, I preached in 26 different villages. And after that, I was very tired, and I had to go rest for a week. It almost made me sick. And so I had to learn very quickly that if you're not careful, the brethren there will overuse you. And so you have to be careful that you balance your abilities with the work. And so I went all over northern Ghana and finally ended up in Tamale, which is a city of about 500,000 people, about 95% Islamic, and ended living there for many, many years and started the first Bible college that I was working with there in that country in 2008. We now have 3 different full-time programs and 2 part-time programs in the country of Ghana, one in Accra, one in Takoradi, and one in Tamale. As I said, the country of Ghana is influential in the gospel, I believe, throughout the world. If you go to Europe today, many of the largest congregations in Europe are made up predominantly of Ghanaians. Throughout West Africa, most of the work that has taken place in West Africa has been instigated by Ghanaians. The church was planted in Guinea by Ghanaians. The church in Liberia and Sierra Leone and Togo and Benin were all started or instigated by the church in Ghana. And many of the most influential preachers throughout West Africa today were trained in the country of Ghana. And so it's very important that the church stay sound in that country. One of the problems that I have in this work, one of the major challenges that I have in this work, is as it expands, how do I take care of all of these schools? And so this man here, Kojo Akwabenyi, he's a very, very faithful Christian brother in the country of Ghana, has agreed to help me as a regional coordinator for all of these schools in Ghana. And so this is going to allow me to expand my efforts even more than what I have been able to do in the past. Kojo is a full-time teacher at the school in Accra. These are our full-time students, and then we also have a part-time program. That doesn't mean it's a lesser program. That just means it's an extended program. It's the same program as the full-time program, where they go to school for 2 years full-time on a residential basis. Only these students go for 4 years. And so it's a great complement to the full-time program there. In all of our schools throughout West Africa, we have a focus on evangelism. Evangelism is that word where we talk about going out and preaching the gospel, going out and presenting the gospel. And that is the focus of our training at these schools. We're not training them to go out to be evangelists. We're training them while they are there to be evangelists. So from the moment they stick their foot in the door, we hand them a Bible and we say, this is your textbook. For the time that you are here, you are going to learn this book. And then as soon as we give them the book, we take them outside the door and we show them, this is the mission field. And for the whole time that you are here, you are going to be out here working in this field. And we will go out and we will take them to do house-to-house evangelism. We'll go out and set up public preaching equipment in different villages and cities and hand the microphone to them and have them publicly proclaim the gospel to the people and villages throughout the areas around the schools. And so we are continually giving them practical study on doing evangelism for the time they are at all of these programs. And as a result, many people are being brought to Christ during the time they're at the school. There was the school in Kenema, Sierra Leone, just a couple of weeks ago, went out with their students. This is a new school that was just started this year. They have 17 students. They went out to a village just a few weeks ago and presented the gospel message to a denominational congregation, and the whole congregation decided to be baptized. So we have 33 new members, brothers and sisters in Christ, because of that new school in Kenema, going out and doing what we are training them to do. In southern Ghana, we have another school in Takoradi with 13 and full-time, and now it says 14 part-time, but we even have more students than that now. I think it's up to 16 to 20 part-time students. You can see that they're outside studying in this picture. That's because it's about 90 degrees right now in Ghana, where it's getting down in the nights almost to freezing here in Springfield. It's very warm there in that part of the world. On a continual basis, we are giving seminars at all of our different schools. This is a seminar we had for preachers in the city of Takoradi. There's about 250 preachers that attended this seminar. There were three Americans, including myself, and two Ghanaians that gave lessons on fellowship over a four-day period. We give the preachers handouts. And what we do is deal with problems that they're having in the church. In particular regions at these seminars, we train the preachers, and then they can go out to all of their different congregations and present the material to them. This seminar in Takoradi was on the issue of fellowship. There were some problems in the church where some congregations were elevating matters of opinion to the level of matters of faith. And so we were trying to help them to understand that even in New Testament times, even 2,000 years ago, brethren differed on issues like eating of meats, or differed on issues of keeping days holy, as we see in Romans chapter 14. And those differences didn't always have to result in division. That doesn't mean that we can differ on issues that relate to doctrine or matters of faith, but we were trying to help them to understand the concept of fellowship. The school in Tamale is still going well. You can see that I'm the only one that's dressed like an African there. They all dress like Americans. They love to dress like this. And wherever you go throughout the country, if you go to worship assemblies, most of the men will dress in Western wear, or they'll wear some sort of traditional wear like this. We presently have 18 full-time students in the city in Tamale. We just had a graduation there a few months ago. We are continuing to do all kinds of programs at these schools, especially in Tom Lee, to help these preachers to support themselves. One thing we're doing in Tom Lee is we're giving goats to previous graduates. I showed you some pictures of that a couple of years ago and maybe last year. We're doing sustainable agriculture programs to help them on their farm so that they can support themselves after they graduate. The second area that I want to look at is an area that I call a recovering land. And I call it a recovering land because Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia have had significant problems over the past couple of decades that have severely affected their poverty rate, severely affected the infrastructure of these countries. We presently have three schools in these three countries, one in Kenema, Sierra Leone, one in Ganta, Liberia, and one in Gekedu, Guinea. This area shows the area in red that was the area of Ebola. If you remember Ebola, it was a very bad disease that they had in West Africa that even spread to other parts of the world a few years ago. Even this congregation helped some when they were having that crisis to send rice and to send hand sanitizer and other things to these our brethren in these countries. But the area in red is where this Ebola crisis took place. And this severely affected the morale of the people. If you're going, if you wake up in the morning and you say to yourself, I don't know if I'm going to make it through the day because of Ebola, it seriously gets your mind thinking about your mortality. And so in 2016, January 2016, when this crisis was over, I talked to my wife and said, we need to go to this part of the world and help them to present the gospel to their people while this is fresh on their mind. And so I ended up going to Liberia and starting a school in Ganta, Liberia, right up here in the center of where the Ebola crisis is, right in this area. Then I went to Kenema, Sierra Leone. If you've ever heard of the movie Blood Diamonds, that's where that movie was centered at. They're the diamond mines that they harvested or mined these diamonds to use for the civil war that was taking place in these countries. And then up here in Guinea, in Gekedu, we started another school. Once again, for me to continue to expand this work, and there's many more places that I can go. There's many more places that the gospel needs to reach, and especially in these Islamic places. Two of these countries in this area are predominantly Islamic. If you look up on your statistics, Sierra Leone and Guinea are predominantly Islamic. Guinea is about 85% Islamic. So if we can go into countries like that and present the gospel to these people, then we need to do it. And for me to be able to do it effectively, I need help. This man, Robert Don from Ganta, Liberia, has agreed to help me with the schools in this area. This is the school that he directs in Ganta, Liberia. You can see that all of these students have personal evangelism Bibles. As soon as we get them in class, we give them their textbook, which is a study Bible that they're to learn. Then we give them a personal evangelism Bible and tell them to carry that around with them everywhere. Wherever they go, wherever they might be, whether they're in the market, whatever they're doing, they need to be prepared with the sword of the Spirit to be able to present that message of hope to the people that they come into contact with. The school is not all work. We actually have some play. I was in Kenema, Sierra Leone about a month ago, and we had a football game. And this is the football here at the bottom. I don't know why we call that other thing here a football, because they actually kicked this one with their foot. But we had a football game between the students, which are here with me, and the church members at a local congregation there. And I can tell you that we won. And so we won this game. But this is the students at our new school in Kenema, Sierra Leone. This is the group of students that just went out and converted that denominational church. When I left Kenema, when I left these people, I went for the first time to Gekedu, Guinea. Gekedu is where Ebola started. If you look at the recent Ebola crisis, you'll see this was ground zero. This was where the first case of Ebola took place. And so I left Kenema, and it took me about 8 hours to get to the Guinea border. And this is probably, in all of the years that I've been in West Africa, this is probably the most difficult trip that I had through the jungle to get to a certain place. And what I had to do was take, you could see how the roads are, I had to take what they call a bush taxi. And a bush taxi is basically a four-wheel drive vehicle that the only thing that works on it is the four-wheel drive. Everything else, the doors are falling off, nothing else works on the thing. The whole thing is about to fall apart, but the four-wheel drive must work, otherwise you can't actually make your way. That this is an example of the types of roads that we drove on for about 8 hours. And when we got to the Guinea border, you come to a river. And so at this river, then you have to unload out of the car, because that's as far as the car can go, and you have to, the people will take buckets and empty all the water out of the boat so that the boat can make it across the river, and then you get in this boat and you cross the river. This is way out in the middle of nowhere on the Sierra Leone to Guinea border, but what can you see back in the background? If you look straight in the background up to the left, you'll see two cell phone towers. And so as I was crossing the river to go over to the other side, I was able to talk to my wife. And that's something that's so beneficial about the work nowadays. If you went 50 years ago, even 10 years ago, even when I started this work, you couldn't do that. But they built cell phone towers all over the world, and you can usually get cell phone coverage just about anywhere that you go within a few miles. But we went across this river to the other side, and once you get to the other side, even a bush taxi can't make it, the roads are so bad. But fortunately for me, Guinea is a French-speaking country, Sierra Leone and Liberia are English-speaking countries, and during the civil wars that Sierra Leone and Liberia had, they fled to Guinea. UN put up camps in Guinea, and so all of these English-speaking people went to Guinea, and that's good for me because my French is not very good. And another thing that was good, when these English-speaking people went to Guinea, they began planting churches. Because once again, they're thinking about their mortality. There's wars going on in Liberia. There's wars going on in Sierra Leone. They're now safe in Guinea, so what's the best thing to do? They began planting churches, and they planted a church right on the other side of the river. And so when we made it across the river, our brothers and sisters in Christ grabbed our luggage and walking up the road with it. I thought we were going to have to walk all the way to Gekadu, but we only walked about a half a mile to their house, and they gave us some food. And then we found out we're going to have to spend the next 2 hours riding on these motorbikes to get to Gekadu. And so this was like a 12-hour trip through the Sierra Leone jungles to the Guinea border, and then on the roads just to get to the city of Gekadu. Fortunately for me, the brethren were there to meet me. They were very interested in starting a new school there. We found this building, and the man that owns this building, even though Gekadu is a town that's predominantly Islamic, this country is about 85% Islamic, the man that owned this building was not a Muslim. And so when he found out that we were coming there to train people to preach the gospel, he was very excited. And the brethren came back to me and said he wants $750 a month to rent this place. And not only this place, but it's an entire compound with a wall around it and another house. And so we have a house for the students to live in, and then this big building for classrooms, for library, for office space, for a place for the director to live in, everything that we need. And they came to me and said they wanted $750 a month. And I said, well, there's no way that we can pay $750 a month with our budget. I said, go back and see if the man will take half of that. And so we went back and told him we'd give him $350 a month, and he agreed. And so we were able to rent this entire building. And that's God working in the world today. I can't say that's providence, but to me, for us to come in contact with this man and be able to have perfect facilities to start a school in this Islamic city, to me, it perhaps could be considered providence. And God is also working in the area that he has had men trained throughout Guinea, not a lot of them, but some trained throughout Guinea that had the capability to teach at these schools. This man in the back would be, on the back right behind me is a man named Francis. He was He was a Sierra Leonean that was in Monrovia, Liberia, when the war broke out there in 1989, and he fled to Guinea. And he's like the Apostle Paul of Guinea. He began baptizing people, and you can find people all over Guinea today that are Christians because of that man. And that's the type of spirit that I like to find in people when I'm going to work with them. He's a very, very evangelistic man. And these other men are men who have been trained to preach the gospel at either our schools in Cotonou, Benin, or some other French-speaking school. So now we have people being trained. In March of 2018, we will begin training people in the city of Dekadu, Guinea, and begin propagating the gospel even more than it has in the past in this highly Islamic country. The last area that I want to look at is what I call an area of political turmoil. And that doesn't mean that all of West Africa isn't in political turmoil. They usually are, but these are even worse. The country of Togo has a president whose family has been in power for 50 years. He's basically a dictator, and the people want him to step down. And so they're protesting continually. They're shutting down the internet, and the government is saying we can't have public gatherings there. I was supposed to go there about a month ago and have a graduation, and we had to cancel it because of the turmoil in Togo. In Cameroon, they have an English-speaking portion of Cameroon and a French-speaking portion. The English-speaking portion wants to have their own country. And so they're telling the rest of the country, we want to leave Cameroon and start our own country. So the government is also trying to squash that protest. But we presently have 82 full-time students in this area from Togo over to Cameroon. 10 of those students, I say, were in Palame. This is also one of our French-speaking schools. We have 19 students in Wututu, Cameroon. You can see they're all holding up these ties. The students there at all of our schools love ties. I can see most of you men aren't wearing them, so you probably don't love them, but they love them. And so if you have any old ties sitting around in your closets that you don't need anymore, they would love to have them over there. The school in Mbanga, Cameroon, is a French-speaking school, one of the few French-speaking schools that we have throughout West Africa. In Nigeria, we have about 40 students in the full-time program, full-time residential program in the country of Nigeria, in the city of Ibadan. We presently have the plan to start 4 new schools in the country of Nigeria. I'm planning on going over there in the middle of January. This area in this circle that you see on this map has a population of about 50 million people. Just in like a 50-mile radius from here to, I don't know what would be 50 miles from here. From here to Branson, just imagine 50 million people living in that area. And so there's a great need for us to have trained men to preach the gospel in this area. So we're looking at starting 3 new schools in the area around Lagos, and then another new school up in Ibadan. So we'll be praying that that comes to fruition. Once again, I need help in this area. So this is our brother Makindi. He's a very faithful Nigerian preacher. He's a Yoruba man, and he has agreed to help me to coordinate all the schools in the country of Nigeria. Makindi is a very faithful man. If you went over to Makindi's house and spent the night, at 5 o'clock in the morning, he would come in and gracefully wake you up because it's time for his morning devotional, and everybody in his household needs to participate in his morning devotional. So at 5 in the morning, you would sing some songs, you would pray, you would get a little Bible lesson, and then at 9 o'clock in the evening, he would come and get you again, and at 9 o'clock in the evening, you would pray and sing some songs and have another little devotional. And he doesn't just do this at home, he carries it over to his school. And so if you come and visit his school, he'll go around at 5 o'clock in the morning and ring a bell. And it's very dark in Africa at 5 o'clock in the morning, especially where the school is. There's no electricity, there's no lights. And so he's out there ringing a bell at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you kind of clumsily find your way to the room where he's going to have his morning devotional. So he's a wonderful man to work with. But with your help, All of these different schools, all of this work that we're doing throughout West Africa are building up an army of evangelists, an army of teachers who can go out and preach the gospel of life. These men make the perfect missionaries. They know the languages of West Africa. There's probably 1,600 different languages throughout West Africa. Each ethnic group has their own language, and these men know the languages. They can deal with the diseases of West Africa. They can eat the food that you couldn't even imagine eating. They could sleep in places that you couldn't imagine, but I can imagine, and we wouldn't want to sleep there with no screens and the mosquitoes biting you, with 100 degree weather and no air conditioning, no fans, no electricity. They can travel in ways that you couldn't imagine, in a 15-passenger van with 25 people in there for hours and hours and hours. And so these men make the perfect missionaries. One thing that I continue to do, I continue to have the opportunity to study with people. This is a grandmother and her granddaughter I recently studied with earlier in the year, and both of them decided to obey the gospel. And so I also enjoy not only coordinating these schools and helping to train men, but I continue to have the opportunity to go out and to train and to teach others. Just some of the special needs that we have throughout West Africa. We continue to give every student a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. When this work just started, we only had about 20 students in Tamale, and 20 students receiving a $60 Bible would cost us about $1,200. Now, with these new schools in Nigeria, we're going to be having around 300 students. And so you can see that the burden to provide these Bibles is greatly increasing. 300 times $60 is $18,000 just to provide Bibles for all these students. Sometimes I think that the weight of all of this work going bearing down on my shoulders will be too heavy. But whenever I think that, it seems that God just lifts the burden. And so God is up there pulling up while everybody's pushing down. I think God is stronger than everybody else, so I think I'm going to be okay. We continue to try to subsidize people with local language Bibles or Bibles in their local languages, motorcycles and bicycles. We continue to try to help people with that. But all of these things are things that are provided through the support of congregation and individuals like this one. I always like to end these presentations with some pictures of the children that I've seen throughout the year. As I've told you before, West Africa is an area of the world that's made up of children. I was looking at the statistics for Nigeria yesterday. Nigeria has 186 million people, and half of them are under the age of 18. Half of the population of Nigeria is under the age of 18. 40% is under the age of 14. And so these children will never hear the gospel message unless congregations like this one send the message to them. And the easiest way for us to send the message is not for all of you to go get a plane ticket and go to Africa and try to present the message to people that you don't know their culture and you don't know their language and you don't understand their way of life. The easiest way for us to do that is to train these men in their own country, in their own language, so that they can go out and bring the gospel message to their own people. I thank you so much, as I said at the beginning of this presentation, for your support, for your love, for your encouragement, for all that you do for this work. I would ask that you continue to pray for me. Prayers are very important. I believe that God answers prayers. I believe that God protects me as I go throughout West Africa. During the potluck this morning, they were asking, what kind of things should we pray for? Because I told them that I'd been studying French for many, many years, and I was still only about 30% proficient in French. And so that I said, should they pray that, the lady said, should we pray that you'll learn French? And I said, well, I don't think God's going to miraculously put French in my mind, but you can pray that I'll be motivated to study French. And I said, you can pray for my safety, because I go a lot of different places. I'm usually there by myself. I know my wife worries about me, and I believe that God protects me. And you can pray that God will provide the resources that are necessary to make this work not only continue to flourish, but that we can go into the new doors that God continues to open throughout the world. The Great Commission begins right here at home. And in Acts 1:8, Luke quoted Jesus and said that you'll be my witnesses, beginning here in Jerusalem, and then you'll go to Judea and Samaria and then the uttermost parts of the world. And so when we bring the message to West Africa, we need to understand that the gospel or the Great Commission begins right here in Springfield, Missouri, and actually right here in this building. There might be those of you here tonight who have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we want to offer you that invitation. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you are willing to repent of your sins and confess Him as your Lord and Master, you can be immersed here tonight. Your sins will be washed away, and if you continue to faithfully follow Jesus for the rest of your days on earth, He has a heavenly home that He is preparing for you right now. And we want to offer you that invitation. Or if we can help you in any way whatsoever, we're going to ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.